Spin your passion into a business with Shopify and break sales records with the world's best converting checkout. Let's hear that one more time. The world's best converting checkout. Shopify's legendary checkout makes it easier for customers to shop on your website, across social media, and everywhere in between. Now that's music to your ears. Any way you spin it, you can be a smash hit with Shopify. Start your dollar a month trial today at shopify.com/records.
From the North Georgia mountains to the Florida line, it is Eric Erickson here covering the whole state of Georgia. Welcome to you all. The phone number, if you would like to be a part of the program, 877-97-ERIC, 877-973-7425. The President of the United States addressed the nation last night regarding the coronavirus. Just as a starting point, now, becoming more and more of a snob audio guy, and so I'm actually fascinated by the way radio and TV works, and I'm fascinated by microphones. I love to go on TV sets and see what sort of lav mic do you use. A lav mic is the one where you clip it to your lapel. A boom mic is one that is typically they use in Hollywood sets. It hangs over you. You can't see it. It's just at a camera frame. You have a shotgun mic that can be mounted to a camera. You have a radio mic like I'm using right now that you get very close to and you talk into. If I stand back here, you can hear the noticeable sound, and then if I get close, you can tell exactly what the audio is when I come close to the sound. It's designed not to pick up a lot of noise. Oftentimes outside my studio, you'll have somebody who has a leaf blower, and you may be able to hear the buzz a little bit, but this microphone is designed that if I'm not directly in front of it, by and large, this is the same microphone Rush uses. It's just not gold. It becomes difficult to pick up those sounds, so you can't hear my dog barking. I've got soundproof doors, but occasionally the dog is by and barking. You can still hear some of the noise. So I'm fascinated by all of that. And last night, the president used a lavalier mic. And the way the lavalier mic works is the microphone, it points up and it captures the sound above it. So the president inhaling through his nose, you heard the whistling. Exhaling, you heard him exhaling because the lav, it picks all of that up because it's above him. Now, if you had a boom mic that was above the president, like other presidents used to use, you'd have a microphone. You wouldn't see it in frame, but the president would have a shotgun microphone. A shotgun microphone, it means it points directly down and spreads out at a minimal range for audio. Then you wouldn't be able to hear the nasal sounds of the president. And this president brought in people who wanted to re-up his production value. And he decided to use the lav mic, and people noticing the sound of the president speaking last night, that's why it had everything to do with the microphone. Didn't have to do with the president having coronavirus or some such. There are all sorts of conspiracy theories about how sick the president is and some such. He's not sick. He's got a lavalier mic. Now, what did the president actually say? Well, first, let me tell you, we're going to have the Lieutenant Governor of Georgia here at the bottom of the hour. It is crossover day in the legislature, and we don't want to forget about Georgia news. Likewise, I want to ask him about the coronavirus and its impact on the legislature. Also, I will take your phone calls. Some of you may have questions today about the president's speech, the markets. We are officially in bear market territory, and I want to get into that as well. The phone number here, 877-97-ERIC, E-R-I-C-K, 877-973-7425. But to begin with, some sound bites from the president on what he intends to do.
I will be asking Congress to take legislative action to extend this relief. Because of the economic policies that we have put into place over the last 3 years, we have the greatest economy anywhere in the world by far. Our banks and financial institutions are fully capitalized and incredibly strong. Our unemployment is at a historic low. This vast economic prosperity gives us flexibility, reserves, and resources to handle any threat that comes our way. This is not a financial crisis. This is just a temporary moment of time that we will overcome together as a nation and as a world. However, to provide extra support for American workers, families, and businesses, tonight I am announcing the following additional actions. I am instructing the Small Business Administration to exercise available authority to provide capital and liquidity to firms affected by the coronavirus. Effective immediately, the SBA will begin providing economic loans in affected states and territories. These low interest loans will help small businesses overcome temporary economic disruptions caused by the virus. To this end, I am asking Congress to increase funding for this program by an additional $50 billion. Using emergency authority, I will be instructing the Treasury Department to defer tax payments without interest or penalties for certain individuals and businesses negatively impacted. This action will provide more than $200 billion of additional liquidity to the economy. Finally, I am calling on Congress to provide Americans with immediate payroll tax relief. Hopefully, they will consider this very strongly.
Now, what is notable here about what the president said, and you could hear his breathing there. Don't get mad at me for putting that. There are actually people on social media spreading conspiracy theories about the president's health because they could hear him inhaling and exhaling the way he was. It had everything to do with the microphone. It had nothing to do with the president of the United States' health. Absolutely bizarre conspiracy theories on the left, and they're totally melting down on this. Now, what I am seeing from a lot of people is Lieutenant Governor just got he just canceled on me, so he won't be coming up at the bottom of the hour. So what I am seeing from a lot of people out there is that they don't understand why the president thinks low interest loans to companies will help. Let me explain this to people who don't understand. Take a restaurant. A restaurant doesn't want to lose its employees, but it has no customers coming because the local municipality or the governor of the state has ordered quarantines. Everybody's got to stay home. No one's allowed to go out. What do you do with those employees? Do you lay them all off, or do you take a virtually no interest loan from the federal government, borrow money from the federal government, and then take that money and apply it to payroll for the people who are out of work, the cooks, the bartenders, the waitresses, the waiters, the work staff? A lot of restaurants will be able to do that because the loans from the federal government will virtually be without interest. So they'll be able to do it and be able to pay that back over time to the government, and they'll be able to keep people having money coming in even though those people can't come to the office because they don't have jobs. You've got to find a way, and see, this is why it's complicated, and we'll get into the president's other stuff as well. He made some misstatements that the White House is having to clarify this morning. But here's the problem. In fact, if you want to see what I wrote this morning, you can go to theresurgent.com. I've got it more fully at my Substack site where I'm doing a daily newsletter. If you want to subscribe to the daily newsletter, it's not quite daily. It's mostly daily. You can text the word show to 33777. In addition to getting a link to the podcast, you'll get a link to the Substack page. And I hope you might consider subscribing. And it is somewhat selfish. It's $70 a year or $7 a month. And it is a way to help monetize this program in lieu of me going out and flooding you with a bunch of advertisers. You supporting me through my writing and radio, and you'll get exclusive podcasts, and you'll get some discounts to my conference and stuff like that. So consider the newsletter. Text the word show to 33777. But. I made the point today, and it has everything to do with the run on toilet paper. So I went to my local Publix. You hear me talk about my local Publix. I love those people. They are wonderful. They're across the street from me. And I went by there the other day, and they were almost completely out of toilet paper. And I went yesterday, and I thought, you know, we're planning on going to the beach in a few weeks for spring break. And what if I get down there and there's been a run on toilet paper and products down there? Might as well get a little extra just to be on the safe side. I didn't buy a ton. Just a several extra rolls so we could get down to the beach and be A-okay if we need to be. And I went in there, and they actually had full shelves of Clorox wipes. They were limiting it to per person. They had two full shelves of Lysol wipes. They had mostly toilet paper. There were actually all of the big packages of toilet paper were sold out. It was the four. I got the last big package of toilet paper. They'll have more coming in today. But why are people making a run on toilet paper over the virus? And here's why. People believe already that they're going to be shut at home for weeks on end. And so they're stocking up on things like toilet paper because they don't want to run out to the grocery store while they're quarantined at home, while they're shut in, while they're not allowed to be out. If the government's telling them to stay out of the public, they're interpreting that as stay out of the grocery stores as well. So they are staying out of the grocery stores. Now, that should tell the government something. What it should tell the government is that an economic stimulus plan is actually not going to do any good. And that's part of why I want to prepare you for this. What's happening today is you're about to see a bloodbath on the stock market like you haven't seen in a while. They had to suspend futures market trading. Futures market trading gives you a sense of what's happening. Even the other day when they stopped the S&P and the Dow suspended for 15 minutes, they didn't stop futures trading. Today, because of the president's address last night, the markets are in free fall. And the markets open in about 15 minutes. And it's a big deal. Prepare yourself for it. Now, what's actually going on here? An economic stimulus is not going to do anybody any good if they're too scared to leave their house. The president could get in Air Force One and fly over major cities, dumping freshly printed $100 bills out of the belly of Air Force One, and people may go out and grab the money by the fistful, and they're going to go back inside and stick it under their mattress. They're not even going to go to the bank to deposit it. They're not going to go shopping. They're not going to go to sporting events. They're not going to go to the grocery store. They're not going to go to restaurants. They're going to stay home. People are beginning to get scared about this virus. And while they shouldn't be scared, they should be super precautious. I'm continuing to see, in fact, the sports commentator Clay Travis is telling people that this virus is less contagious than the flu. 99% of people recover. He is absolutely right that 99% of people recover. In fact, the fatality rate is 100%. Of the 99% who recover, some of them have long-term lung damage. He's leaving that out. And also, it's highly contagious. It is more contagious than the flu. The bigger issue here, and I hate to sound like a broken record, but I feel like I got to say it all the time. The bigger issue here is not the number of people getting the virus. That is significant. But the problem is, as more and more people get the virus, it's going to begin to mutate again and could spread in a second, more deadly wave. When the Spanish flu first went through the global population, hardly anybody died. It had a death rate equivalent to the regular flu. The second wave of the Spanish flu got to 2% of the entire world's population died. Not 2% of fatalities. It was roughly, millions of people died. Millions of people died. That's what epidemiologists are worried about, the mass casualties of a second wave of this virus. If it goes fully global, and it is a pandemic now, it's worldwide, if it gets into enough people and continues to mutate, it mutates in a way that is more fatal and spreads again in a different way, and the people who've already gotten it get it a second time, and then they die. That's part of the concern. This virus is more contagious than the flu. It is more contagious than the cold. It is more deadly than the flu. It is more deadly than the cold. It is more deadly than pneumonia. And it's spreading globally. It is a global pandemic. And people are not going to take advantage of an economic stimulus if they're too scared to come out of their house. So what the White House needs to do is get on the same page with Congress. And what Congress needs to do is get on the same page as the White House. Now, how is this going? Well, let's just look at the last 12 hours. The president addressed the nation last night. He got three major factual errors in his speech. He should probably fire a speechwriter today, given what they put in the speech for him to read, including saying that there was a cargo embargo on Europe, which isn't true, failing to note that the travel ban in Europe actually isn't a travel ban in Europe, and also mischaracterizing what insurance companies would pay for. That was in the president's speech. He read the speech. Yes, the president, the buck stops here, but also the speechwriter should have never put it in the speech. Those things were wrong. It did not reassure the markets. They wanted to hear the president say he was actually going to start putting localized travel bans in place in this country. They wanted to hear that we were stepping up the manufacture of testing kits. They wanted to hear that we were waiving regulations on testing kits and the things like that. And they didn't get it, so the markets are going to be in free fall today, and I suspect you're going to have the White House come back out and redo this later. The vice president's already come out this morning. But what did the Democrats do? Because this is a bipartisan problem. You can't put all of this on the president. And I know Democrats want to put all of this on the president. There was an absolute meltdown going on social media last night and on TV last night. You know, CNN chose to fixate on the phrase foreign virus. as if that was the big takeaway from the president's speech. What did the Democrats do? They waited until after 11 o'clock last night to release a 124-page stimulus package about which they consulted the White House on nothing. And today they're saying they're going to pass it today. No one's actually read it. And they're going to dare the White House to veto it. That's no more responsible than getting wrong several of the key facts in the president's speech last night. And by the way, the president overwhelmingly is right on this path of providing economic incentive to small businesses to shut down without risking themselves financially and allowing people to stay home. But it's also a very difficult problem. You know, a lot of doctors and nurses in this country have something called a child. And if they can't, if they've got to go to work and schools are shut down, what do you do with the child? Where does the child go? Do they have child care? Some do, some don't. What do you do? These are complicated questions. What about the business that's on the knife edge and even they can't afford to take out this loan? Do they shut down? Do they go out of business? Do they put people out of business? If they put people out of business, do those people have to go queue up for unemployment benefits at a local office at a time we're telling people not to queue up? Do they apply online? Do they just get free money from the government? What goes on? These are very complicated questions. There are people who believe there are easy answers of just printing dollar bills and giving it to everybody. That doesn't actually work economically. It causes the devaluation of currency and massive inflation and will wreck the economy. So what do you do? Difficult questions. What I would submit to you shouldn't do is have a meltdown like Don Lemon did on CNN last night or be obsessed over the phrase foreign virus as most of the American media is. We're headed in the right direction, but I would argue we probably need to step it up a little bit.
Well-connected and well-respected. It's Eric Erickson, live every weekday.
It is Eric Erickson here. The phone number, if you want to call in, 877-97-ERIC, 877-973-7425. The Democratic response here is rather juvenile, and it is essentially they are going to pass an economic stimulus plan today in the House of Representatives that no one has actually seen. It's 124 pages. They released it at 11:08 p.m. last night. They are going to debate it and pass it today, sight unseen, no committee review, and then pass it to the Senate and try to make it a political thing. I do think that that, like this foreign virus situation, is going to actually undermine our ability to get anything done. I think it's highly irresponsible. And of course, the media, just like impeachment, is going to cheer it on. And I think this actually gives the president a way around this. In fact, I think the president used the phrase foreign virus from China last night because he knew the media would do exactly as Jim Acosta of CNN did. Listen to this.
I think that is the speech that was expected. I think it went well beyond what any of us really thought. I don't think many of us were expecting the president to announce a travel ban from Europe for 30 days, starting at Friday at midnight. That is stunning. That is going to cause major disruptions to the travel industry, and it is going to cause all kinds of problems that we haven't seen since the Trump administration tried its travel ban very early on in the administration. We saw people waiting at the airport and so on, wondering if loved ones are going to get back from Europe. So it is going to be interesting to find out what the details are for administration officials in terms of how they're going to implement that. The other thing, Chris, that I think we should point out, at one point during this address, the president referred to the coronavirus as a, quote, foreign virus. That I think was interesting because as I was talking to sources earlier this evening, one of the points that the president wanted to make tonight, wanted to get across to Americans, is that this virus did not start here, but that they're dealing with it. Now, why the president would go as far as to describe it as a foreign virus, that is something we'll also be asking questions about. But it should be pointed out that Stephen Miller, who is an immigration hardliner, who advises the president, is one of his top domestic policy advisors and speechwriters, was a driving force in writing this speech. And I think it's going to smack, it's going to come across to a lot of Americans as smacking of xenophobia, to use that kind of term in this speech, Chris.
Well, look, sometimes we can answer the questions. And the answer is he's doing it to put blame somewhere else. We've seen over the last few days McCarthy and others saying the Chinese coronavirus, the Wuhan coronavirus. We get that. It can't be the main concern right now.
Even Chris Cuomo said, yeah, this can't be the main concern right now. We can move on to other stuff. You know, here's the thing that the media, and you do need to understand here, I don't consider myself a conspiracy theorist. I'm pretty hostile to conspiracy theories, but I would point out, yes, I don't consider myself one, but I realize I'm going there and I know how it sounds. CNN is owned by Warner. MSNBC and NBC are owned by Comcast, Universal. ABC is owned by Disney. All of these are, oh, and CBS is owned by Viacom, which owns Paramount. All of these are media entities that are owned by film studios. And those film studios are dependent on the Chinese box office. You're not going to have American newscasts angering the Chinese right now. And the Chinese Communist Party is actually out there on social media this very moment pushing the idea that the coronavirus originated in the United States. That is why the president of the United States has decided that he is going to refer to this as the foreign virus or the Wuhan virus. That's why Republicans are doing it. It has nothing to do with racism. It's to push back on a talking point from the communists. Why are American reporters upset at the president pushing back on communists? I have no idea. They're pushing back on Bernie Sanders. It is Eric Erickson here. The phone number, if you want to call in, 877-97-ERIC, 877-973-7425. The NBA is canceling the end, or suspending, I should say. They may start it up later. But basically, they're decided to cancel the whole season. And this comes after what happened in Oklahoma City last night. 2 days ago, Rudy Gobert, who plays for the Orlando Jazz, was doing a press conference about the Orlando Jazz's COVID-19 response. And he didn't take it seriously. He thought it was no big deal. And so he leaned over and made a point of touching all the microphones and all of the recorders for all the reporters who were there to emphasize that it was no big deal. That was 2 days ago. Last night, the Orlando Jazz was in Oklahoma City to play the Oklahoma City Thunder, and the game was about to begin. The music had started, the crowds were in the stands, and they canceled the game. Turns out that the very same Rudy Gobert, who 2 days ago was touching all the reporters' microphones and recorders, has the COVID-19. Now, here's what we know. You can be contagious for the 4 days before you have symptoms. So the odds are, because he had symptoms and had a fever at the game last night, he apparently did have a fever. We know that he was contagious for the 4 days prior. So it is, Utah. Did I say Orlando? I'm sorry. Thank you, Brent. Buddy of mine just texted me and said, you're saying Orlando. I have said Orlando since yesterday. Oh my goodness gracious. I got to fix that, don't I? This is how much I keep up with the NBA. Nonetheless, so the Jazz were in Oklahoma City, and they decided that they needed to shut down the whole game. And, well, they did. And they didn't just do that. They decided to shut down the entire season because it's probably spread to the whole Utah Jazz team now. Well, here's what we know from Dr. Anthony Fauci, the head of the National Institutes of Health. What we know now is that it spreads through your breath. And we now know from a study, they were just talking about this on Fox News right before the show started, that it can live for 3 hours in its surroundings. It can actually live for up to 96 hours on glass. Think about that. Your tablets and devices. But 3 hours circulating in the air, this virus can survive. You can get it by inhaling the water vapor particles that are expelled from an infected person's lungs. We now know that a person who is infected with this virus has 10,000 times the number of viral particulates in their lungs as they do after the fever starts. So in the first 4 days of this virus, you are highly, highly contagious and you have zero symptoms. So they've shut down the entire season for the NBA. Now, the NCAA, we are in March Madness. It is March 12th, and the Final Four coming to Atlanta will be without crowds. There will be no audience participation. They are now rumbling today that perhaps they may shut down the entire season of the Final Four, that they don't even want the players together at this point. There are rumors about that. We will see. I have a hard time believing that, but I will get more into this in a little bit, but I gotta play a little more from CNN last night because this deserves to be heard. And full disclosure, I know and like Don Lemon, and he has gone off the rails. He is the president, I think, has genuinely broken the guy. He cannot have a rational conversation about the president any more than he can have a rational conversation about a black hole sucking up a 747. This is Don Lemon, or I guess it was a 777. This is Don Lemon talking with John Kasich last night, who I really don't like. I like Don Lemon more than I like John Kasich. I'm not a John Kasich fan at all, but listen to this.
I don't know if he stuck to the script or not, but that whatever script he read was wrong because they've had to clarify it several times. And I just got to say, if the president came out to calm people's fears, he didn't do a good job of it because they've had to come back and clarify it several times. And this has been going on long enough for them to get it straight. We need straight, accurate information from this president and this administration, and we're not getting it. And I don't understand why you are tiptoeing around it. He came out, gave an address that happens very rarely, and he doesn't get it right?
I'm going to tell you, first of all, he read it, and somebody that wrote this, look, I don't want to get into that.
That's why you're here to talk about the president's address.
Can I finish now?
John, because we're here to talk about the president's. I don't want you to go on and deflect and talk about something else, because we're here to talk about the president's address. And you said that someone else wrote it. He's the president. Even if someone else wrote it, it should be right.
I know he did, and he has to be Don. He put this thing out because there was some confusion out there, okay?
Now there's more confusion, John.
And I'm trying to say to you, Don, we got to move down the road. Looking back doesn't get things fixed.
We're not looking back. The president's address, the president's address was tonight. That is the newest information with this.
Tonight will,
is the president's address.
I think it was fine. That's what I think.
Inaccurate information that you have to come back and clarify two or three times, you think that's fine?
I thought he did fine. That's what I thought. I thought he had the right tone, and he no longer played around with, we're going to blame Democrats or forget this stuff. I hope he's trying to move forward because he understands the seriousness of this situation.
It pains me to agree with John Kasich. Okay, here's the problem. Let me cue off. The Politico has a story out today. Let me read you the headline of the Politico story. Trump's travel ban sidesteps his own European resorts. This is by Ryan Heath at Politico. President Donald Trump's new European travel restrictions have a convenient side effect. They exempt nations where three Trump-owned golf resorts are located. Y'all, we got a third of the United States right now is convinced this is a partisan weapon against the president of the United States and not a real virus. We got hospitals in this country filling up with people. We've got more cases in this country than have been reported. And we know this because there are now massive flu spikes happening in Los Angeles and New York that are unexplained, that should not be happening. And so every single health expert knows this is COVID-19 spreading. South Georgia is apparently about to get its first case reported, from what I'm told. That's not in the news yet, but I am told that South Georgia appears it may very well have its first case. We've got Don Lemon on TV yelling about, screw the president's tone and screw the president wanting to take tough action. The president made a couple of misstatements that his speechwriters made, and he has to own it because the speechwriters put it in and he read it, and it's all him and screw him. And we got to relive all the bad things about I hate the president and the president's wrong, and we can't actually allow the president to move beyond this. You know what this reminds me of, actually? This reminds me of the internet shaming where someone from last year, 2 years, 10 years, 20 years ago said something that people on the internet don't like. And so now this person's not allowed to grow up. They're not allowed to move on. They're not allowed to change the direction. You've got the media in this country nonstop yelling that the president of the United States needs to change the trajectory of the conversation. And yet he tries to change the trajectory of the conversation. And oh my God, we can't let him do that. We've got to reexamine the word for word speech. He got it wrong. They had to send the vice president out. The markets are tanking, and it's all his fault. We can't move on from this. We need the president to come out and apologize for his speech last night and have a do-over. This is unhinged. And then to do this report at Politico that says, oh, yeah, this is the president's exempting his own people. He's making money off of this. A little more from this Don Lemon conversation because it's infuriating and you should hear it. And just a tip of the hat to Nicholas Fondacaro at Newsbusters for highlighting all of this.
John.
That's what I think. And I think
can
we
be
need to
serious
move forward.
And yes. Sit here and tell you 4 + 4 = 85. I'm serious. That doesn't mean that I'm right. The information he gave was not right. You have to come back and clarify several times information that you gave. Listen, I tried to cut him a break at the top of the show.
You mean like who's going to get back into the country? You mean like what is it in the clarification that you thought was so terrible? Tell me what you thought.
I didn't
was
say
so
I
bad.
Thought it was terrible.
It
I'm telling you that we're in the middle of a pandemic
speech.
Right now. We're in the middle of a pandemic, and every
know.
Time this president comes out, he gives inaccurate information. So I don't understand why he would even come out and do it at all if he is going to confuse the American people even more. You don't understand that you're a governor. I'm surprised that you don't understand that. If
no,
you're not going to help,
well, no, Don,
if you're not going to be accurate, why
do
it?
I do understand.
What Kasich should be asking Don Lemon now is here's a doll. Show me where the president hurt you. Because that's what this essentially is. I mean, Don, can you shut the hell up for just a minute and let me finish speaking? Maybe he should have said that. What has the president done to break Don Lemon so badly? Don is a perfectly nice guy. He's a very nice guy. But why can't he not let John Kasich finish his point? Why is he so alarmed that John Kasich may disagree with him? Why is he so alarmed that John Kasich may be willing to point out that, yes, the president, after several days of being dismissive of this virus and attacked by Don Lemon for being dismissive of this virus, finally had a sober conversation with the American people to let them know how bad the virus actually is and what the government is going to do to help people, and John Lemon still can't get beyond it. At some point, members of the media have to realize that Donald Trump behaves differently from the normal president that they wish they had, named Joe Biden. And while they are desperate to make Joe Biden happen to stop Evil Orange Man is still president of the United States. And we should at least allow him to move beyond being dismissive of the virus after the last several days, as his own National Institutes of Health director has come out and says, yes, this is actually going to get worse before it gets better. The president tried to do that last night. The media has urged the president of the United States to do that now for a couple of weeks. The president tried to do it last night, and they can't let him do it now. Could I have a news network, as an aside, could I have a news network where I get the news without the commentary from the anchors and reporters? I really don't need Jim Acosta to mouth off. It was very interesting. I actually did an experiment last night. I put up Fox News and I put up CNN together. Oddly enough, I had the same TVs and the CNN picture was better than the Fox picture on DirecTV, and I'm not sure why that was. Hannity just, everything looked a little paler. It was weird. It was noticeable. It was interesting because it was Sean Hannity on, and I thought it was notable, on Fox. You know, Sarah Palin did the whole, Masked Singer thing last, Baby Got Back with Sarah Palin last night. You can Google it. Maybe we'll get to it. Nonetheless, so you had on Fox News, you had Sean Hannity, who was talking to John Roberts, who I know. And you had on CNN, you had Chris Cuomo talking to Jim Acosta, who I know. And when the speech was over, they came back. And what did John Roberts do? Here are the facts of what the president said. Here's a little more depth from the sources that I have. And over to you, Sean Hannity. What did Jim Acosta do? Here are the facts of what the president said. And here's what I think about the facts of what the president said. I don't really care what Jim Acosta, the reporter who's covering the White House, thinks. I care what he knows. I don't care what Jim Acosta feels, nor do I care what Don Lemon feels. I want to know what they know. And right now what they know is that they don't like the president, and it pollutes every single damn thing they say about the president of the United States. They got to come through and they've got to do partisan commentary. I thought CNN was not going to become MSNBC. I thought CNN knew the difference between the apples and bananas, and apparently they've gone bananas. I can I just, as an aside here, please just bear with me. I love CNN. I grew up watching CNN. I lived overseas. CNN was the only major international news network you could get. I moved home. I remember watching the Gulf War as a kid, moving back to rural Louisiana, having lived in the Middle East. Bernard Shaw, Wolf Blitzer, Frank Sesno, even Judy Woodruff and the like. They were all there. Robert Novak, a brilliant commentator. And I got to work at CNN for 3 years, and I treasure those 3 years. I made a lot of friends who still work at CNN. They are some fantastic reporters at CNN. They are incredible people at CNN. Wolf Blitzer, John King, Dana Bash, Gloria Borger, Jake Tapper, Anderson Cooper. These are actually fine reporters who I know and like, and I understand, and they understand that they may have biases and worldview differences from me, and they work very hard to overcome those and tell us the truth about what's going on and try to get to the facts, and they're willing to call BS on both sides. They are. Whether you like them or not, they actually are. All of these people are willing to do it. And then you've got other people like Chris Cuomo and Don Lemon who have decided to compete with Fox News by becoming MSNBC Lite. They want to be newsy, not news. They want to be truthy, not truth. They want to be opinion, not actual fact. And so they have on the former governor of Ohio as a CNN contributor last night, who I don't particularly care for, and am aggravated. I've got to defend the guy because he comes on and he makes a good point that it was nice to see the president finally sobering up, not dismissing the virus and saying we're going to take care of it. And what does Don Lemon do? Oh, my gosh, he didn't give us the full detail of the European travel ban. This guy can't grow up and move on. No. He's trying, and CNN can't let him do it. Don Lemon can't let him do it. Because if the president does it, it might help his poll numbers. And God forbid the president's polling goes up and he wins re-election. It's unfortunate to see the president having broken so many people. Yes, the president got things wrong last night. I wrote about it. Let me read you my precise paragraph that I wrote. Consider just the last few hours. The president spoke to the nation in somber tones from the Oval Office and managed to say that we were suspending cargo shipments from Europe. We're not. He left out a significant detail related to the suspension of travel with Europe that probably should have been put in the speech. It also seems he misstated what insurance companies had agreed to cover. As for the Democrats, they unveiled their 124-page economic relief package after 11 p.m. last night and intend to get it passed today, largely sight unseen, and dare the president and Republicans to stop it. Yeah, the president got three details, misstated two, should have expanded one, but he didn't. But by and large, what did he do? He tried to reassure the nation, and he tried to make sure that everybody knows he's taking it seriously, and he tried to make sure everybody knows we're going to have economic relief. That should be the takeaway from the speech. That's the relevant takeaway from the speech. The other things, yeah, okay, one was a misstatement. Maybe there were two, because insurance isn't actually necessarily going to pay for every detail of coronavirus. They are going to pay for testing. But one of them was just, I mean, the thing that Don Lemon was hung up on is the travel ban to Europe. There are actually some major exceptions to the travel ban. So it is a travel ban, but with exceptions. And the president didn't outline bullet point by bullet point the exceptions. And that's what got Don Lemon upset. Seriously? You know, if the president had spoken for 20 minutes instead of 10 minutes, Don Lemon would have been upset by the length of the speech. Maybe, just maybe, just maybe, just maybe. I don't know. I'm not going to say that. I nearly got myself in trouble and I shouldn't. But, you know, man, the president has broken some people.
Well connected and well respected. It's Eric Erickson live every weekday.
Let me step back for a moment, please, from talking about the coronavirus. If you're in the Cartersville area, you probably should. Actually, I don't care where you're listening right now. You should probably know this. USA Today went out and surveyed art experts in the United States. They're travel experts, actually. I shouldn't say art experts, travel experts. USA Today travel experts looked at art museums around the world or around the United States, I should say. And wanted to name the top art museum in the United States. And it is not the High Museum of Art, but it is in Georgia. It's in Cartersville. It is the Booth Western Art Museum. It is now, it's up I-75 from Atlanta, down 75 from Chattanooga. The Booth is the USA Today's best art museum in the United States. It opened in 2003. It's the world's largest permanent exhibition space for Western art. It's 120,000 square feet. It's an architectural wonder designed to resemble a modern pueblo and constructed from Bulgarian limestone, says its website. The museum is named for Sam Booth, a friend of the museum's founders. It's operated by Georgia Museums, Inc., and it is the best art museum in the United States of America. The list, according to the experts and the readers, Booth Western Art Museum in Cartersville, Georgia, Crystal Bridges Museum of American Art in Bentonville, Arkansas, Detroit Institute of Arts in Detroit, Nevada Museum of Art in Reno, Kimball Art Museum in Fort Worth, Texas, Art Institute of Chicago in Chicago, Chilluli Gardens and Glass in Seattle, the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York, the Los Angeles County Museum of Art in L.A., and the Museum of Fine Arts in Houston. Now, the National Infantry Museum and Soldier Center in Columbus is listed as the third best history museum in the United States. So we got two of the best museums in the United States. I have never been to the Booth Museum. I have seen a picture of the building. It is highly impressive. If you're into Western art, not just cowboys and Indians, it's worth a trip to Cartersville. Just not right now. Avoid the crowd. Stay home. Bunker down. Shelter in place. All of that good stuff. But the time will come when you can venture out of your house again. Now, when we come back, let's look at the NCAA stuff. And please do keep Tom Hanks and Rita Wilson in your prayers. Tom Hanks, star of like every good movie ever made, has tested positive for coronavirus. His son, in a shirtless video on social media, I got nothing. His son said that they're okay, minimal symptoms, doing fine, has talked to him. What about the symptoms? What do you expect? The Wall Street Journal has done an interview with one of the first Americans to get coronavirus. And, well, wait until you hear what this guy has to say about what he went through. Keep in mind, the CDC now saying this virus at minimum 10 times more deadly than the annual seasonal flu.
At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. Whether your pursuit involves a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, GCU's learning environments are designed for supportive networking and collaboration. With over 330 academic programs, GCU provides a path to help you fulfill your dreams. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.